Romans 12. I believe this will be the last message on the chapter before we get into Romans 13. But in Romans 12, verse number 18, the Bible says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." These verses are difficult for the mere fact that there's so many elements to relationships. And there's so many passages in the Bible that we can go to. For example, in Matthew 10, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." But wait, now I'm supposed to live peaceably with all men. Now, how about that? Well, you can't contend for the faith and not have your peace disturbed. That's what Jesus meant when he said that. So, there's something that lies in you that is going to help you and I be able to live peaceably, even though we have to contend for the faith and we're going to bring out our sword of the Spirit, and there's going to be, well, it's going to interrupt our peace. The Bible says in Romans 8, it talks about we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That doesn't sound like the peace treaty to me, Lord. Does it? Why? Because our enemies see us as sheep that they want to slaughter. They don't have any concern for our lives, and their judgment for us is they want us to die. As much as lieth in you, live peaceable among all men. It's hard to reconcile those verses. The fact of the matter is, we know our enemies hate us. James tells us, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So Romans 12 is telling us, James is telling us, that we are going to have to labor for peace. And there's no other way around it. Three times in Romans 12, in this chapter, we are told specifically by God to not seek punishment when someone wrongs us. And let's look at those so you don't think I'm making it up. Look at verse 14. What does it say at the end? "Bless and curse not." That's the first time. In verse number 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." We talked about that last week. And now the third one comes in verse number 19. The third command or warning, however you want to phrase it, says this in verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Why don't we avenge for ourselves? Because it doesn't belong to us. God says it belongs to Him. In Acts chapter 7, what happened to Stephen? He got stoned. Who's standing there? Saul, Paul. He's standing there. He witnesses the death of Stephen. The church, if you think about it this way, the church owes Paul really to the prayer of Stephen. In other words, you've got a persecutor who now has his heart's been changed. He went on to do great things for God. Why? You think about the prayer of Stephen before he gets stoned and goes up to be with the Lord. "Don't hold it against him, Lord." And Paul went on to do great things. Why don't we take vengeance? Because you don't know that the man that's doing bad to you, you don't know if he's going to become the next Apostle Paul. That's why. That's why. And we really need to get a hold of it from that perspective. Avenge not yourself. Man, I hope you're here and you want to be God's man. I hope you want to be God's outlaw. I hope you want to be a righteous man of God. I hope you want to be someone that stands up for truth and is not afraid to lead your family. Do you want to be that? I want to be that. We show our weakness when we try to take vengeance. We don't show our strength. God doesn't want weak men. He wants those that are strong in His might. And let's not have these thoughts of this desire for revenge. Hey! As soon as that creeps up in our heart, something's spiritually wrong. I'm going to get back at him. How dare, I'm going to even the score, man. Something's wrong spiritually when we start to think like that. The Bible talks about in that verse, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." You better leave it, and I better leave it to God to measure out and to mete out the punishment. God says He will repay, and guess what? He will. But guess what else He wants to will? Space for people to repent. Space for people to get right. Space for people to come to the knowledge of the truth. He did that for us. That's the idea of not taking vengeance. Verse number 19. Let God settle the score. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." You know why you can't settle? You know why you shouldn't settle? Try to settle the score? Because you can't settle the score. You're going to come up short anyway. Did God settle the score with you? He gave you space to repent. Leave it to God. He'll mete it out. Now, let's continue to read. The Bible also says in verse 20 and 21, therefore, in Romans 12, verse 20, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And it's not cyanide, by the way. Yeah, I got something for him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Heap coals of fire. Now, there's something in the heart of carnal man where we just desire to see our enemies suffer. This is why Romans 12 is written. We should not enjoy the satisfaction of seeing someone squirm by us being nice to them. You see, to us, we are appearing to others as if we are doing something righteous. But our motive is, we kind of enjoy the secret comfort of revenge. That's not what Romans 12 is telling us to do. As a matter of fact, it's telling us to do quite the opposite. This is not a path to psychological revenge, where the super spiritual can look like they're spiritual, but they're really not. They just want to win. All that does is give more water and more sunlight for that seed of hatred to grow. That's all it does. It's actually a call to hope, so those who are our enemies can find peace. Romans 12, God is giving us a path not to revenge. God is giving us a path to reconciliation. That's the point. This is not about our enemy. It's about us. God says, why are we taking his business into our hands? He's going to settle the account. What do we do? What's your assigned task? Well, you know what your assigned task isn't. Getting back at your enemies. Your assigned task, stay on course, and your response to society, to your enemies, is going to be one of love. For God so loved the world. And by the way, the world wasn't His friend. We were at enmity with God. Go to Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8, if you would. Romans 5, verse 8. The Bible says in very clearly in verse 8 of Romans 5, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When someone hurts you and harms you, it's an opportunity for you and I to show love and care for them. Why? Because God did it for us as His enemy. Romans 5:8 typifies the love of God and the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse number 10, if you would. Well, as I'll read verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. But what were we? Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Look, God won us while we were hostile to Him. And He wants us to win others when they are hostile toward us. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to y'all. Because it is a hard, and I will say, doctrinal truth. Because it is doctrine to live how God would want us to live. Going back to Romans chapter number 12, I want to give you a few thoughts on this phrase in verse number 20 that says, coals of fire. At the end it says, for in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Some say this was a ritual of repentance that originated in ancient Egypt. And some say that if you wanted to make things right with your enemy, you would carry coals of fire in a dish on your head as evidence of repentance. You were basically saying to the person that you've wronged, that you wanted to be forgiven. That's one view. Also, in Bible times, a lot was carried on the head. They would water jugs, and you've probably seen this portrayed before, or a basket with vegetables or fruit in it. And in the home, what would happen is they would have a brass pan, and that pan would be used for holding burning hot coals, because that was their heat source. They would put it under a table, keep their feet warm, they'd put it in the house, and they'd also use it for cooking. Well, if your heat source went out, you would have to go to a neighbor or a friend, and you would have to bring your pan, and you would have to ask them to borrow some live coals so your heat source didn't die out. And so, you know, you'd carry that. They'd carry things differently than we do today. You know, so on their head, and they'd head home. And if your neighbor was generous enough, well, they would heap your whole thing full of coals. And, you know, so they have a, you know, you have it with these ladies in the kitchen. Sometimes you got the pan, the bigger pot, and then you put like a little pan in it. So the real hot stuff, you know, well, it's probably that idea, you know, they weren't burning their heads, but so some say, others say what this phrase means, to feed or to give drink to your enemy was like filling him with hot coals. It meant that they were able to cook, and it meant they were able to be warmed. It meant you were helping their life, and it was a symbol of generosity. So those are two views considering that phrase. I'd like to open up another view this morning, and I'd like to start it in, well, before we turn there, I want you to see this this phrase in the Bible here. Bible says in verse 19, in the middle, it says, for it is written. So when you see for it is written, what do we have to do? Find out where it was written. And so we're going to do that, and I'd like to do that and bring forth another view that I think will help us all this morning. Go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. And in Proverbs chapter number 25, we see in verse 21, Proverbs 25, verse 21, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. That's where it was written in Proverbs 25. That's our cross-reference. And so God is giving a reward to you. You see that? God will reward thee. This heaping coals, it's given as a warning. Why? Because a type of judgment is going to be coming. So this coals of fire, your enemy's wrong behavior. Your enemy does something wrong to you. Their wrong behavior becomes more evident to them from your right behavior. That's the idea. It's not to seek psychological revenge. It's an unspoken appeal for them to change their wrong behavior. God's goodness wants to lead us to what? Repentance. Repentance is what? A change of His goodness should lead us to change our mind about Him. It's a picture here. Look, judgment's coming. Heap coals of fire. Why are we good to them? Why? So that they would have, our goodness would help them change, turn, repent. That's the call. That's the cry here. We want their hearts to be softened and want their conscience to be awakened. Keep your finger in Proverbs 25, just in case we go back there. But get Isaiah 47. I want to show you something in Isaiah 47. The Bible says in Isaiah 47, it gives a reality of the judgment. It says, behold, Isaiah 47, verse 14. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. This verse of Scripture here is about God's judgment that's coming. Look at Psalms 140. I think we can get a clearer picture in Psalms 140. Psalms 140, look at this first verse. Who do we find? Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. And then we also see, preserve me from the violent man. Look at verse number 4. Keep me from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man. Look at verse number 5. The proud have hid a snare for me. See that? Look at verse number 7. O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Look at verse number 8. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked, further not his wicked device. What is this? You've got an enemy. Who is your enemy? He's evil. He's violent. And it's being pictured here. Man, he's coming up against me. Watch what God says now in verse number 9. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. So as for their head, okay, look at verse 10. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. What's going to happen? They're going to be cast into the fire. What's the fire? It's a picture of hell. Many references in Scripture, you can run the pit as direct references to God referring to hell. There's a coming judgment that's coming. So when your enemy does you wrong and when my enemy does me wrong, we're not to seek revenge by killing them with kindness so we can feel good about other people seeing us take the high road, yet secretly, oh yeah, I'm so happy that they're squirming because I was so nice to them. It's not what it's about. It's about coming judgment. We know coming judgment is coming for them. We must win them. God won us. His goodness led us to repentance. We need to deep throw goodness on them to bring them to repentance. We don't want them to end up in hell. Now go to 1 Corinthians 3. Because you may say, well, my enemy is a saved person. Do you know some saved people that have turned on you? I mean, you want to say that they're unsaved, because what they did to you, you say to yourself, how in the world could a saved person do that? Have you done that to others? It isn't always the other guy. Well, saved person, they don't have... Well, let's read the verse here. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? Fire. Are you burning in hell? No. Your works are being revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's what? Work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a... What does it say? He shall receive a reward. We are going to judgment. Remember we went through these verses that are changed in the modern versions last Sunday, and we talked about one was condemnation was changed in John. If you're here for that, you remember that. And they changed it. They changed that to judgment, as if Christians don't go to judgment. We do go to judgment. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. We're not judged for our sins. We're judged for our works. And those works that are done in the flesh are burned up and for naught. No reward. But those works that are done for the Lord, for His glory, the Lord gives us a reward. This judgment happens in heaven. We're not being judged for our sins. It was paid for on the cross. We're being judged for our good works. God knows what your works are. They may have been good, but they were they for Him or for you? You see that? But I got off on a side trail, I don't want to miss this tie-in. Because you don't have to turn there, but when we read in Proverbs 25, the Bible said in verse 22 of Proverbs 25, "For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall what?" You remember? Reward thee. The Lord shall reward thee. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, do you know what you're getting? In verse number 14, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." You build something on the foundation of Christ, and it's for Christ, God's going to give you a reward. A saved enemy doesn't have to worry about the fires of hell. A saved enemy has to... An enemy offending a saved man... I talk too fast to get my words mixed up. I'm a saved man. My enemy is a saved man. If I respond to him improperly, I don't have to worry about the fires of hell. My improper response to a saved man, I have to worry about the fires at the judgment seat of Christ that are going to burn up that work because it wasn't right. I lose a reward, man. You lose a reward. Okay? That's for the saved enemy that offends you. Romans chapter number 2. Stay with me. This afternoon won't be this heavy, but I want to finish this chapter out. I want us to get this because our response to our enemies is so important. Romans 2, look at verse number 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" an unsaved enemy, that's why we want to respond to them correctly. We want them to avoid the fires of hell. So we want to be like Christ in this verse. Be good to them. We want them to see that we're different. Okay. Now, in Romans 12, I got a few more thoughts. We'll take a little mind break here as we go back to Romans 12. Verse number 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So when we see it is written, what do we say? Well, where is it written? Go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And we'll find where it was written. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse number 35. Deuteronomy 32, 35. Bible says, to me, that's God, belongeth vengeance and recompense. Remember, recompense to no man evil for evil. Why? Because it belongs to God. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. This is the awakening of the sinners, and it is one of the most dreadful verses warning the slipping, sliding foot of the sinner. How many of you know, have heard of Jonathan Edwards? Okay. How many of you have read or listened to someone read his sermon? Who knows what his favorite, his most popular sermon is? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You know, let the kids listen to that one, you know. And it's one of his best sermons, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And his text verse is this verse. And the idea of this verse is a sinner doesn't realize their insecurity. So our job is to get them to realize just how insecure they are as a sinner. That the impending doom of punishment is about to come upon them. So we want them to get to the point where they realize this. If you've been saved any length of time, you can go back. Don't. But you could go back and you can start looking at all your past sins. And you can see that God didn't dump impending doom on you. He gave you time. But do you see where it says in verse number 35, their foot shall slide? Well, that first sin, that's a small little sin. God didn't drop you into hell, but your foot slid. You regroup, and then you sinned a little bit more. Oh, your foot slid again. Man, impending doom's coming. And your foot slid again. Impending doom's coming. You can go about count all your sins. God didn't drop you into hell. He gave you time. He gave you His goodness. He wants you to repent, but your foot's going to slide. Vengeance is mine. He will recompense. He will do it. But He didn't do it yet, did He? But all the time, these sinners are sliding away from God. You can watch your enemy wreck his life. And you can watch him on his way sliding, and he's just going to end up in the pits of hell. Or you can help him be aware of his sins so that he repents and that he changes. Their foot shall slide. They're not secure. They're on a slip and slide of sin. You're on a hilly country. And it's steep and it's a narrow walkway and there's rocks there. And under it there's a deep valley and you're going across that. All of a sudden you've become aware, I better not slip too far, too bad, or I'm going to fall to my death. We need to view sinners like God views them. they're on a slip and slide to hell. We need to bring to light to them that they can see just how insecure their foot is. The punishment of sinners is certain. It may be delayed, but it's certain. And that sliding foot marks the start of the fall. All right, we're going to finish out one more thought. But we need Isaiah 63. We need Isaiah 63. Stay with me. We're going to get Isaiah 63 handled. I want you to see this. Because the last verse in Romans 12 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Young people, winning yourself is the greater victory. Doing good to someone else benefits them. If you and I are overcome with evil, if I'm so overcome with evil, you know what I can't do to you, brother? I can't help you. I have nothing to offer you. I have no benefit for you if I'm overcome with evil. It's about us, because we're supposed to be different than the world. And you might not lose your salvation, but you know what you're going to lose? You're going to lose your testimony to the world. If you allow yourself to be overcome with evil, just trust that God will repay the wrong. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The conflict that we have, God's trying to get us to see this. The conflict isn't with our enemy. The conflict is with us. That's why verse 18 says, "As much as lieth in the other person." Or does it say, "As much as lieth in you"? It's about us. Someone teases you, tease them back. Humiliate them in front of everybody. No. Quite the opposite. Never do that. Never do that. As much as lieth in you. Who's in you? Come on, church. Who's in you? If you're saved, Christ liveth in you. As much as lieth in you, you have Christ, the living God, and the power of His Holy Spirit. And He can help you overcome evil with good. Last verse, and we'll finish up. Remember, God's part is to repay wrath. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. The Bible says, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment." Well, who's this speaking? It's God. "For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." God says vengeance is in His heart, and He's going to repay. But this is when He, at His second coming, it's His last ditch effort. Do you think God wants to tread upon evil, wicked sinners and have their blood splattered upon His apparel? But vengeance is in His heart. And God says He will repay. But He hasn't done that yet. But it's in His heart. So if we don't respond correctly, we'll lose our testimony. And we'll lose giving that person an opportunity to see just how slippy, slidey their feet are on the road to hell. We want them to repent. We want them to see the goodness of God. You may have suffered greatly because your enemy made life hard for you, but they're going to suffer worse if they end up in hell. You know what it means to love your enemy? Love them enough to not desire at all for them to end up in the pits of hell. Because vengeance is in God's heart. And He doesn't want to do it, but He will, because justice must be served. He wills, He wants all men to repent. We must. Look, God's part is to repay in wrath, not ours. Our part is to serve in love. We are to be good because God is good, and we want them to see God in us. We are to be merciful, kind, and gracious, not because of vengeance, because of Christ. And we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to be used by Him, not to use God to get back at our enemies. Our relationship to society and our enemies within society is with a response of love. I hope we can get that this week.